The book of Acts and what impact that has had, the fact that you and I sit here this morning because of the obedience of the apostles to what Jesus Christ had to say to them. So in that middle pivot point, starting in verse 7, it says this: He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority." They had asked Him the question, "When is the kingdom of God going to come?" And Jesus Christ responds to them, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's going to come in the future. Don't worry about times and epochs. That's up to God the Father. You don't need to fill your mind with a bunch of worry about that stuff. But," He says to them in verse 8, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You'll see that happen later on in the chapter and into chapter 2. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem was the city that they were in, right? We talked about this last week. Jerusalem was the immediate area around them. "And in all Judea and Samaria," that was to the south and to the north. So next to Jerusalem, the area that was outside of their common, you know, the common area that they would walk around in, it was a little further out. They knew what it was. They maybe had even been there once or twice in their lives. Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So far away that you can't begin to imagine. What is it that they were going to be doing in each one of those areas? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Last week we talked about our Jerusalem, and we invited the Long Beach Rescue Mission and Child Evangelism Fellowship, two specific ministries that we have partnered with on a local level, to come and share with us. And this morning is kind of our Judea and Samaria Sunday. We're talking about our global missionary partners, the part of the world that is outside of our immediate reach. Now, to be honest with you, some of these people are ministering in the uttermost parts of the world. But we are going to categorize them as our Judea and Samaria ministries, our global missionary partners. I got to tell you, I couldn't be more excited about having all four of our missionary partners here this morning. It is rare that we would have the opportunity to have our global missionary partners all here. Oftentimes, they are not in the local area. They are not even in the United States. They are all over the place. And so this year, we have a great opportunity to hear from all four of our global missionary partners. I couldn't be more excited. And I hope that as you are experiencing our missions conference, that you are not just sitting there thinking, okay, this is like TV VCR. I'm going to watch TV. It's going to be, you know, kind of on the VCR, and I'm just going to kind of watch this two-dimensional program in front of me and not really get involved with it, not really interact with it. I hope that you will be actively involved in what God is doing around the world, in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, the region that is just outside of our reach, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, which on the next couple of Sundays we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about we're having Sanford Hashimoto come in, and he's going to preach to us next Sunday about his ministry down in Brazil. And then the week after that, Dr. David and Becky Thompson are going to be here, and they will be talking about the Bungalow Evangelical Hospital in Gabon, Africa. What a great opportunity we have to see what God is doing all around the world. And of course, this morning we have the very special opportunity to hear from Keith and Denise Swift with Instituto Interglobal. I doubt that I'm saying that correctly, but they'll say it right later. Interglobal Institute, they are here this morning. Vincent and Chinyere Wangpa are here this morning. And we know them a little bit better, of course, because Vincent is an elder here at the church. They're both actively involved in ministry here. But they're also the president and vice president of Eternal Word Communication Ministries. I don't even know if you know that. They are missionaries. And they're doing some radical things in Africa, and I'll let them share about those things a little bit later. And then if you look further on your outline, you'll see Ken and Joy Swift. I'm particularly excited that Ken and Joy were able to be with us this morning, because they're going to be talking about the culmination, literally, of 30 years of ministry, and what just an unbelievably exciting event that is going to be coming up in 2006 for them. And I'll let them tell you about that. And then finally, we are going to be commissioning a new missionary, adding a new partner this morning to our world, to our global mission partners. We are going to be adding Christian Schultz, who normally hides behind the computer screens there in the back and runs our technical stuff. Kristen is going out with YWAM to the Dominican Republic, and she will have an opportunity to share with us about what God has laid on her heart, and I will have an opportunity to explain to you what it means to be a partner, a global missionary partner with Long Beach Lions Church. So I'm very excited about this morning. We've got a great morning laid out in front of us. I am actually going to take time right now, though, to pray, because my desire is not that you would just have a smorgasbord of missionaries that you would get to experience today, but that you would constantly be asking yourself the question, which I wrote on your outlines in every single section: how can I get involved with this organization or these people or that thing? I am praying that God would stir our hearts, that the partnerships that we have as a church with each one of these groups would not just fall on deaf ears, but that it would actually stir us to action, that God would be in action in moving between their words and your heart, and that you would be gripped. You would be gripped with what God is doing around the world. I said it last week, and I'll say it probably every week. We cannot find more purpose in what Jesus Christ's last words were than this: there will be no evangelism in heaven. Remember we talked about that last week? There will be no one left to share Jesus Christ with in heaven. You know what that makes this little period of time that we've got here on earth like? It makes it critical. It means eternity hangs in the balance for us. It means that the people that we drive by on Palo Verde, the people that we know at work, the family members that we know that do not know Jesus Christ, that they have this moment in their lives to make a decision, to respond to whether or not Jesus Christ is going to be Lord of their lives. They have this time, not eternity, this moment, which makes what we talk about this month the most important subject that we talk about as a church. We will have lots of opportunity to grow in our worship once we get to heaven. We'll have lots of opportunity to know Christ better than we ever will once we get to heaven. We'll have every opportunity to be great disciples of Jesus when we get to heaven. But there will be no evangelism, which just carries with it an inherent sense of purpose for you and for I. And really explains why we're taking an entire month out of our schedule to concentrate ourselves on God. What are you doing around the world? I hope that pricks your heart. I hope that that moves your soul and moves you into action, true action, with your time, with your talent, with your treasure, with all that you are. Let's pray, and then I'm going to invite Keith and Denise Swift from Interglobal Institute to come on up and share with us a little bit about their ministry and what God is doing. Father God, we pray that this time right now would be a time where we would be captivated by you, that we would see your fingerprints all around the world. God, we see them in our own lives, just as we were singing, Father, this morning, that you would be the center, that, God, you would be at the center of who I am. God, I struggle. I struggle so deeply with that, and I am not alone. God, I bring to you an entire group of people that struggle with keeping our eyes on you. God, there is not a one of us here that does not regularly fail in our efforts to walk with you. So God, I pray that as we experience what you are doing around the world, that it would not be a discouragement to us, but it would be an encouragement. That, Father, we would see that your hand is steady with all people everywhere, that you love the world, and that you came into this world that the blind might have sight, that those that have infirmities would be healed, that you would make the poor rich, that you would take the broken, and that you would mend and heal them. And that, Father, most of all, above all other things, that in pouring out your gospel, like throwing seed across the entire world, that, Father, there would be those that would respond to your name, and that they would spend eternity in heaven because of a Sunday like this at Long Beach Alliance Church. God, change us and change our hearts. We pray that this would be a time that you, the cross, that what you have done would take practical priority in our lives. We trust you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Keith and Denise, come on up here. Everybody, let's welcome Keith and Denise Swift.
Well, good morning. Why don't you,
you have a long history with Long Beach Alliance Church, so why don't you share with everybody, kind of give us a connection as to what brings you into contact with Long Beach Alliance Church, what has God done in your life, and how has Long Beach Alliance Church interacted with that, and then I'll ask you some more questions that are a little more specific about ministry, so fire away.
Well, about 35 years ago, I used to live over here on Iroquois, the other side of Wardlow. I came walking over here to church with my younger brother and sister who had been to the Vacation Bible School. My mom forced me to come, and I was crying the whole way. Mom, why do you have to bring them to church? I've never been to church before in my life. And came through the door. Little did I know that I would be find some great people here, many of you. Thank you so much for the youth direction you gave to me when I was a high schooler, and all the camps and retreats, the late nights, Faith and Bill, and I don't want to start with names because I know I will miss many of you, but thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Denise was in Lois Keel's Sunday school class when she accepted Christ.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
And I came to be here at the church because my folks became members, and
and you're going to talk about that in your presentation. Right. So, well, I'm going to let you cut loose. Let us know what God is doing in the Interglobal Institute, what God's been doing in your life, and how we can be involved, what we can pray for, just all those things. I know you've got a little visual help to help keep us on track and with what's going on, but we're just really excited about having you guys here this morning. Thanks so much for coming, and we're really looking forward to hear this.
Thank you. We were part of the youth group back in the 70s. We used to sit here in the church. Actually, it was in the old sanctuary where he played gym, basketball and all. We went to Mullican High School, Long Beach City College, went up to Simpson Bible College, and both of us graduated, and we went to Talbot together and graduated at seminary over at Biola. I remember when I was sitting here, I thought I would always be young, and I just want to encourage you all to look forward into the future and realize that the decisions you're making now are going to affect you. And don't ever let the world make you think that you're not good enough to be serving the Lord. And I'd encourage you to make wise decisions for your future. You can tell here that Denise and I are grandparents, and that we're very happy. Our daughter Jessica just has our three-year-old Kobe Woodworth, and I wanted to share a little bit about our family as we go along. The Ministry of Interglobal started in the year 2001, and our goal is to firmly establish Interglobal so that long after we're gone, the ministry will continue training truly biblical leaders. Right now, Spanish-speaking church leaders can study online at our Learning Center. It's just totally amazing still to me. All our classes are in Spanish, and our website does have an English section if you wanted to go and look at it. Teachers can climb into the internet through Interglobal. We make it possible for Latin Americans to teach their own classes online. We're helping church leaders utilize the internet media for more effective ministries. Lord has blessed us through this all with a terrific family. Our son moved here recently. Kahana and Matt, would you stand up? My son Matt and Kahana, she's pregnant with their first child, our third grandchild. And then here we are at camping with our family. Curtis on the left, from left to right, Curtis and his wife Jessica and baby Abigail. And then Denise is holding Kobe, and then me, and then Matt and Kahana. It's just a real blessing to have a family that's walking with the Lord. And I'd like to introduce you, if I won't go naming names, but everybody associated with the Swift, Shelley, and I won't know the other last names. Would you stand up just so everybody knows who the Swift guys are? Okay. Over in the back corner. This is our next slide. I guess you went through that. The next one is that one. That's Jessica and our daughter, her husband Curtis. They live up north in San Jose. We get to go camping with them this next month, and it's just really a blessing to be blessed by a family, and I'm sure you all are experiencing that. Interglobal is a co-op. Interglobal is a cooperative institute working together to train leaders for ministry. We have faculty and students from all over the world. You name it, most likely internet goes there, and people are coming to know about the ministry. We probably average about 1,200 hits a day on our website, and it is growing. We're developing internet curriculum, online curriculum. Most of our classes are facilitated by professors. We do have some free independent study courses, but we don't just throw up online all this text. It's centered in on facilitating learning online. Without Interglobal, most of the Christian teachers in underprivileged countries, especially in Latin America, would not be able to get online and teach their classes, at least not anytime soon. So Interglobal enables them to teach their own classes online. We have some 20 teachers associated with us. Pete Larson on the left, he's a former seminary teacher, 40 years in Latin America that we knew down there when we served in Mexico. And Villacorta getting his doctorate over at Talbot Fuller Seminary. Both of them they're two of our five board of director members. Maldonado and Mann both have their doctorates and are teaching with us. Maldonado will be teaching his first course in March. Very busy guys with their own teaching ministries and all, but they're supporting us by becoming a part of what we're doing. Bernabe and Guillermo. Guillermo starts teaching probably in May. Course by course, with these types of teachers, we're working towards providing full programs needed by individual church leaders and by seminaries and institutes. Israel Tapia, that's his family, a pastor down in El Centro, and he's now teaching a church a class, How to Plant a Church. Very practical. 6 weeks while they're planning a church, actually studying about it and learning as they go. Very practical. Vladimir Vega is serving as one of our tech guys, answering questions people ask. He's actually a tech guy down at Loma, Point Loma in San Diego. We need more tech volunteers. If any of you are so inclined, we need some volunteers. Be sure to give us an email. We are networking all over the Christian world, and we hope that you will support Project 2005, which is going to be sending us to make personal contact with Bible institutes and leaders. I found that whenever I've shared personally about the ministry of Interglobal, they want what we're offering them. And so we're hoping to spread the word, get leaders on board with what Interglobal is providing. The last statistic I saw, we expect around 77 million internet users in Latin America. So I think Interglobal has plenty of people to be working with. We're hoping to partner in order to get that job done. An example, Enrique Ruloff is in Argentina. He came here and I went down there. He's been representing us in the Southern Cone of Latin America and presently Academic Dean of EBA, which is a Christian Missionary Alliance Institute in Buenos Aires. We're partnering with him, but please especially pray for Alejandro and Mabel in Argentina, a young couple, highly educated in theology that are considering working full-time with us. All we need is $500 a month to support them, and they can work full-time with us. Now, I find that astounding, but that's the way the economy is down there. So we're working towards not only having a system that's self-supporting, but to be able to get people on board to start jump-starting Interglobal. Part of our vision for ministry is to plant computerized learning centers in churches and places. We planted one in Costa Rica last year, our first one. And so the question is, would you like to go down and help plant a learning center down in some Latin American country? Just give me a call. All over the world, there are qualified yet underutilized trainers. And that's the people that Interglobal is focusing on. They speak Spanish. We just need to help jump them onto the internet. Thank you for so much for partnering with us. This is such a blessing to be a part of your missionary thrust into the world. There are not enough institutions in the Christian world to fully train all the Christian leaders that are needed for the churches that are exploding in Latin America. And that's what Interglobal is all about, is to help train and equip truly biblical leaders for churches down there. I feel so small in front of the huge task, and it's not something I chose, but it's just it's the challenge before all of us, and I just really appreciate you making this part of your ministry. Training leaders is one of the most strategic parts of missionary work. And the part that we're doing is making them be able to train more online. Thank you so much for helping us, and we really appreciate every one of you.
Many of you know Vincent and Chinnery because of their involvement here in our church. So buckle your seatbelts. They're going to bring it this morning and share with us about what's going on with the Eternal Word. You guys, go ahead and share with everybody, particularly how you two became involved at Long Beach Alliance Church, just how that came about, and then please share with us all about Eternal Word and what's going on, how we can be praying and get involved. All right?
Okay.
Thanks. You both look really nice.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, we're excited to be here this morning to share with you what the Lord is doing in our lives. We get to get involved with Long Beach Alliance Church through Pastor Jack, who has been our friend since 1986. So we knew ourselves a long time ago, before he went to Africa, before they started having their children. We knew them before then. So that's how long we've known them. And then when they came back from Africa and we are in Cleveland, Ohio. So we were praying with them when they wanted to change, to come over anywhere the Lord wanted them to come. So after that, they told us that the Lord has opened door for them here in Long Beach, California. So, yeah. So they came in July of 1998. Ending of that July, we started coming here since then. So that's how we got involved, because our friend, Pastor Jack, came over here. But prior to that time, we were going to Whittier Alliance Church in Whittier. And from there, we went to Brethren Church in Norwalk, then before we came over here. So we thank God for everything. So concerning our ministry, I want before we watch a video, to let you know that this is my darling wife. Yeah. Yeah. So we are doing this work together. So the Lord has been good to us. We cannot thank him enough. What have you to say about Eternal Word? Okay, I caught that by surprise. Okay, cool down. let me redeem you now. Please give us the video.
Thank you.
Okay. As you watch the video, this is the beginning of what we started. When we started, we just had a vision of what
here,
God is leading
we
us
have
to
about
start
11
in
and
school.
Half plus of
and
land.
We had to pray for land to start. That
land.
Is the land, empty land. There were no buildings around where we started the school. So this is when the land was purchased, they were looking at it, the board members in Nigeria, they went to survey. So this, they were showing them the land. David and David Mastron, Kurt Fukwe and Christian and Steve, when they went there, they saw that after this land was bought and we started the school, people started buying lands around the school area. So right now, it's a costly commodity to get land around our school. But when we bought the land, there were no buildings around. So that's what impact the school is making over there. So you see, we started building. This is the first classroom that was built. It had four classrooms and office space in it. So they're showing them around the classroom. So it had four classrooms and office space. Is it not coming out, the voice?
This is the rear elevation.
Okay.
This is the front elevation. This one has a very long corridor.
This is another classroom.
Yeah.
That's the fourth classroom. Yeah.
They are big enough to accommodate enough students.
Students.
Or scholars.
With six students, and later on that year, you see this number of students that came, but the initial students were six when it started in October 1999. So this is the building, roofed, and had doors and windows, but at that time it wasn't painted. We just started it without painting the building. So these are the students. Year 2000.
Yes,
the teacher, one of the teachers teaching in the class, in his classroom. Yeah, now this is 2001. The first graduation ceremony for the kindergarten students. Because we started it a year, each year we add a new class, each year we add a new class. Because we want at the end of the year there, either in the primary school or in the secondary school, that we would be proud of the products of our school. So those are the first graduates of our kindergarten class in 2001. And we are proud to let you know that this year, these first graduates will be graduating from sixth grade. That will be June 2006. So we thank God. No, 2005. That's when they'll be graduating. Okay. So now this is 2002, when we went with our first missionaries to Nigeria, Steve Kukuburg and Christine Fukwe. They were teaching the students there in the classroom. Kurt was also there with us. You see Kurt also after them. So he taught them PE and he taught them the Word of God. So we had every aspect of our ministry, those that you can reach. You don't need to learn a new language to go there. You use English there to communicate with the children. Yeah, so. Okay, this is Kurt. Scott was teaching them in this classroom here about the Word of God, John 3:16. Okay, 2003, January 2003, ending of 2002 and stroke January 2003, the church helped us to purchase that school bus. So that's the bus that you guys helped us to purchase in January 2003. So you see this, what? Yeah, the children saw the bus coming, so you see the excitement. Yeah. Yeah, they were really excited to see the bus. So this is the small bus we used to use. That green bus was taking over 30 students. That green bus. So was packing them like sardines. But God helped us through you to get the bigger bus. So we are still using the two buses now. Yeah.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Okay.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Okay, you can kill it, please. Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you. So we see we have gone a long way to producing these students at this moment. And we didn't do this by our own effort alone. Many of you have contributed, many of you have donated your time and money to show what we are showing here today. And it's only God who has made it possible that way. And I want to let you know, like what you've seen, they say that pictures worth a million or more than a million or even 10 million, whatever you can quantify it. So you can see with your eyes what we are doing there. We started from the scratch. And how did we get there? We got the vision of establishing a Christian school in Nigeria because of the Muslim influence in Nigeria. Nigeria has 124 million people. And of these 124 million, 50% are Christians, quote and unquote, those who are nominal Christians and born-again Christians. They make up 50% of the country. And then 45% are Muslims. And Muslims are those in authority. They've been ruling the country 99% of the time that Nigeria has been in existence, the Muslims. And they are getting a lot of support from oil-producing countries of the world, Saudi Arabia, Libya, name it, Iran, Iraq, all those areas that have oil. They give them money to propagate their Islamic training. And they establish Islamic schools in Nigeria that trains children free of charge from kindergarten to university level, as long as you subscribe to being a Muslim. This is the challenge we have to face. We said, my wife and I, what can we do to thwart the plans of these Muslims? If we leave them that way, they will turn Nigeria around. Like you have heard, we started with 6 students, October of 1999. The paper we wrote out about this this ministry today, we said 480 students. Do you know that it's obsolete? That was a long time ago now. As we are speaking, we have 510 students in this school. 510 students. It's growing leaps and bounds. Why is it growing? It's because of the Christian influence. We want to get them while they are young so that they will not depart from the Word of God. And many of you have helped us to get to where we are right now. And we cannot overemphasize the need of your partnering with us. My wife and I, we have been sacrificing a lot, plus all the help we're getting, to see that this goes a long way. I used to be a full-time teacher, but because of this ministry, I then decided to be a substitute teacher so that I will have more time to go to Nigeria to do work there and come back anytime I like next month, March, I'll be there for 1 month. March, April, I'll be there. And why am I going? The classroom we built, many of you helped us to roof that classroom last year. The classrooms are filled up now. We don't have any space anymore. Come September, if we don't build another classroom, we won't have any space for this infiltration in the school. And how can we do that without your help? And that's why we are asking you to help us, that as I go back to Nigeria March 12th, that I will have some money to lay the foundation, to start the building, and also for us to be able to finish it before September when school starts. And not only building the classroom. In Nigeria, they emphasize living in the dormitories for those in secondary school. Our secondary school just started in September last year. We have almost 60 students in the secondary school now. The secondary school that started, we have two classes that just started in September. So it's the population I'm quoting for you now is for the secondary school and the elementary school. So this is what the Lord is doing. People are coming because we are giving them the word of God almost free of charge. They pay a token of money, because if we don't have the money to do it free of charge like the Muslims are doing. But we are subsidizing a lot to see that those children get quality education. We have library, many books that we have gotten from here that we shipped over there in Nigeria. We have not less than 2,000 volumes of books in our library there. And in my garage, it's filled up to the brim with books and other things that people have donated that need to be shipped to Nigeria. And the need is for me to go there and lay the foundation for the classroom and also the dormitory. Because dormitory, the students, if you leave them aloof, they come from their homes, you will not be able to give them the quality training that you will be able to give them if they are living in the school. So like all of us, when we were growing up, we lived in the dormitories back there in Nigeria. So we want to give our children the quality education and the moral instruction that they need to put them in the dormitory. And we also need to build this dormitory, if possible, before September. But the greatest need is to get the classroom before September when school resumes for the next academic year. And we are employing on all of you to help us out to do that, to be a regular partner with us, prayer partner with us, and also supporter. And do you know what? July, we are going to Nigeria again with those who have decided to go with us on a short-term mission. This Saturday will be a meeting for us at my home, those who will be going with us to Nigeria. So we have a sign-up sheet there if you want to go with us to Nigeria this July, July 9th through 27th, or if we can adjust the date based on what the needs will be. You are cordially invited to come with us, to partner with us, to go there first time, to see with yourself what the Lord is doing, and pray with us, and give financially. If you cannot go, please, let your money go with you. Please, we appreciate that. Pray with us. God bless you.
Wow, it's a lot.
Be sure, Vincent mentioned something in the back that is important. There are tables that each one of the ministries have set up there in the back, and you can kind of linger right after the service to take a look at those. And of course, we're having that lunch for everybody afterwards too, so you got plenty of time before you head over there. So Ken and Joy, we're about there. You are. Hello. Ken Joy Swift. Well, I know they're going to tell you culmination of 30 years of ministry that they're coming up on here this next year. And I don't want to steal their thunder, but I do want to say that in my own experience in the Christian world, these two are two of my heroes. And they have done a work with the Kakinte people down in Peru that borders on being unbelievable. They've really followed God with their lives. And I've had a couple of their kids who are here today in my youth group in years past, and I've been very connected to their family, and it's a real pleasure to have you both here this morning. So I'm going to just let you introduce yourselves and let everybody know a little bit about you guys, and then tell us about what's going on with Wycliffe and the Kakintas and the New Testament and everything. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. It's a great joy to be here. We were asked to tell how we became connected with this church and also with the mission that we work with. Well, my connection came through the wonderful man God led me to when we were studying linguistics at the university in Oklahoma, getting ready to head the mission field. We were both planning to head, heading separately to Peru, and that's where we met. I was already a member of Wycliffe and thought I was going to be single all my life when God led me to Ken. So that was very exciting. So I came out to California, and I remember the morning that we got to announce that we were engaged in this special place. And God has been so good to us through you. It's been a wonderful home to me. I thank you. Well, my parents were with Wycliffe Bible Translators as support personnel. We have two arms in Wycliffe, many arms actually, but one is the linguistic translation track. Literacy also, and the other is support in all kinds of avenues. Just about anything that anybody does can be used within Wycliffe. We can use the skills that you have. And there will be brochures also at the back that tell, if anyone is interested in mission work, the different avenues that are available within Wycliffe. Not that we want to pull you away from the Alliance, but the Lord leads different people in different ways. So my parents went to Mexico when I was 2 and then on to Peru when I was 4. And it was because of, well, first I gave my life to the Lord when I was 7, and all about the same time in my memory, I knew the Lord wanted me to go into missions, and I felt always planned to be a nurse. So it seems that it was about that same time the Lord brought all those things together for me, and I did go on to nurse's training in Chicago, Bible school, etc. But I guess it was because I grew up in Wycliffe and I saw the needs that were in Peru and learned of the needs all my life, that there are even now still 2,700 groups in the world that don't have any part of God's Word. There's a great need yet. And so because I knew the need, I was familiar with the mission, the Lord just naturally led me into Wycliffe, and I investigated going to another part of the world, but the Lord led me right back to Peru. And it was exciting to learn that that's where Ken wanted to go too. So the Lord's put it all together for us. And I'll leave all the rest for Ken to tell.
Wow. It's good to be back with you all again. As Joy mentioned, we've got a lot of history here at the Long Beach Alliance Church. Keith mentioned that our family moved here. That was about the time I was just starting college, and youth workers then, the youth sponsors, were Rouses, and spent a lot of evenings at their home, and really appreciated the counsel that we received then. All along, the Lord was continuing to impress on me the needs for taking his word around the world. Memory I have of considering being a missionary was when I was in grade school. And in fact, the school annual for our school there in Peru when I was in sixth grade records that I was considering being a missionary when I grew up. Excuse me. I am fighting a bit of a cold. As I was in junior high and high school, that desire to become a missionary kind of got pushed one way and another. And there are a lot of things going on, and some of it was the attraction of things here in the U.S., and another part of it was just looking at what missionaries did and being in situations like I find myself in this morning and saying, man, that's not something I want to do. Have to stand in front of people and talk. That's the last thing on my list of enjoyable things. But as I wrestled with these things in college, the Lord finally used an unusual event to get me back on track. I was a senior at Wheaton College, a group was going to speak in the nearby Bible church. I had heard of the Alcas before. You have heard of the Alcas from Ecuador. In 1955, there were five missionaries that were murdered by the Alcas as these men attempted to make contact with this group. The Alcas had been feared by the oil people in the country. Their whole system was one of vengeance and killing. But as these five missionaries went into landed on a beach near them, made some contact with them, all five of them were killed. I heard that there were five Alcas and Rachel Saint that would be speaking at this church. I thought, this should be interesting. Little did I know the effect that that would have on my life. As these people shared, Rachel translated, and they told how they had understood what forgiveness was because Rachel was willing to come and be friends with them even though they had killed her brother. And Betty Elliott also, whose husband was among the five. The two ladies, because they were women, they were not as feared. They figured maybe they're looking for husbands. They finally realized that these are the ones that were actually the relatives of the ones they had killed. And they began to understand what forgiveness was. Big contrast to their system of vengeance. Well, one of the men, the Alca men in that church, was Kimo, the man who had actually killed Nate Saint, the brother of Rachel. And he, after sharing how he came to know Christ, said, Rachel tells us that your people have had God's word for 600 years. And he says, how is it that we're just now hearing? Well, that really convicted me, and it continues to, because I think of how many thousands of groups are out there still, and they've never heard the gospel in a language they can understand because somebody wasn't willing to go. And, you know, I was one of them. I was saying, Lord, I can't do this. So I went home that night and was really convicted. I thought, you know, if the Lord is calling me and, you know, I don't go because I say, well, I can't speak well, whatever excuse I give, how many more generations are they going to have to wait before they understand the truth that Jesus loves them? So that was really how the Lord got me into this work of Bible translation. I still had no idea how I was going to fit into this. I made contact with Wycliffe at that time and went to study linguistics. I thought, well, if I'm going to go to one of these groups, the first thing I need to know is how to learn their language. So we got some training, and I hadn't enjoyed learning language before. I had grown up speaking a little bit of Spanish, and when I studied that, it was a It was not very enjoyable. I had studied Greek in college, and I'd done okay, but it was not fun. But when I got into linguistics, I found out that it was a different ball game, and it was more in line with the way of thinking the Lord had given me, and that was that there's a problem here. You know, there's just all this sound coming at you, and there's nobody telling you this is what it means. You start trying to make sense of it, trying to figure out the system. So the first thing, when we went to work in Peru, in 1976, Joy and I went out at the invitation of the Caquintes, because they'd been had heard the gospel, and a few of them had in a neighboring tribe, and they were wanting somebody to come and translate the scriptures for them. Well, first thing then we needed to do as we began living with them was to analyze that sound system, figure out the grammar of the language, and write analysis of it. So that to me was enjoyable. It was a lot of work, but it was more down the line of the way I was used to. I was able to handle the information. The primary focus then of our ministry over these years, since 1976, has been translation of the scriptures for the Caquintes, as well as being part of an overall team in Peru that has been reaching many languages in the Peruvian jungle and Peruvian mountains. And before we ever went to Peru, the Lord opened up a center there in Yarinacocha, which has been our home for a number of years. And that linguistic center served Bible translation for 56 years. This past year was a major event in the closing of that center, as it had served over 50 different of Peruvians, the Peruvian languages, in reaching them. 30 New Testaments were published as a result of that center being there, and we still have about four or five teams that are still working in the area, but we've moved on to smaller pieces of property, and we're going to continue, Lord willing, to finish up the projects that we're involved with, but with a much smaller team there. As the Lord allows, it's our desire to continue translating more of the Old Testament for them. Chris mentioned that the New Testament's about to be published. Just before coming out here, when we were in Texas, we've been working on the typesetting of the New Testament, and we signed off on the text of the New Testament saying, we're not going to propose any more changes. And that was... If any of you have looked at any of your English Bibles, you realize that somebody that's a translator is going to continually be looking at it and thinking, how can we improve this? So I'm sure there'll be things that we'll want to change, but we signed it off saying, enough for now, and may the Lord be able to use it. We plan when we go back here to continue there. We want to have illustrations in the New Testament. There'll be probably about 70 line drawing type illustrations and about 10 color pictures, so we need to work with them on making sure that the placement of those and the paging and all the footnotes and all comes out well. So that's our next step. As we go back, we have a dictionary, that a Spanish Caquinta dictionary that has been somewhat in process, although not our focus, and that's the next major project, as the government requires that we publish that somewhere along the. It'll either be electronically published, or we hope in print also, so the Caquintas can make better use of it to transition into the Spanish language. So we'd appreciate, as you think about us, first of all, praying for the Caquinta church. The Caquintas are a small group. They're isolated. They're still mostly isolated. There are no other Spanish speakers that are living in their immediate area, although more and more of them are getting out now and having contact with the outside world in that way. But I appreciate your praying for the growth of the Caquinta church. And then secondly, praying that they would read the scriptures that they already have until the whole New Testament is available to them. We've been publishing portions as we've gone along. They've got about two-thirds of the New Testament and the book of Genesis. And the Lord promises that his word will not return to him void. Pray that they will make use of what they have. And then, If you'll also be praying about the completion of the publication process. There are many places that glitches can enter in. We've had some where they've gotten to the point of getting it ready to send to the publisher, and somehow one page dropped out of the whole thing. And it had been there. It was there on the electronic copy that they'd been looking at. And then they made up the master to send to the printer, and somehow that page was blank. And they don't. It took them a long time to figure out how to. What was the problem? So just if you would pray for the whole publication process, that it will reach the Kakinta people and continue to make a difference in the lives of that isolated group in Peru. Thank you.
Don't miss, and I hope you hear, in 1976, they walked in to the Kakinta people and just were listening to noise. And in May of 2006, they will deliver the completed New Testament to those people with the Word of God in there. And that is just unbelievable. That is a remarkable, remarkable 30 years that they have poured their lives into. And so I hope you get a chance to talk to them afterwards and understand better Wycliffe Bible Translators and that ministry. So, Kristen, come on up. This is our youngest missionary. She's 21 years old, and she also helps us out with all the tech and everything that goes on here at the church. This is Kristen Schultz, and we're very excited about what she's going to be doing with YWAM. And so, Kristen, we have conveniently given you absolutely no time this morning. So I'm gonna just ask a couple of questions, let you kind of spill to us what's going on in your ministry. And then we would like the elders, all the elders, to come forward. We're going to pray for Kristen and commission her for her missionary endeavors that she's going to be heading out into in the future. So, Kristen, tell us about YWAM, how you end up heading out with them on a two-year missions trip, and kind of what's been going on in your head and your heart and what God's been doing. Thanks.
Well, I've been involved in short-term missions trips for, for a long time, ever since high school. And I always thought, unlike Ken, when I would think of going off to the mission field in high school, I always put it at the bottom of my list. I did not want to do it. If I had a choice of anything I wanted to do, that was the last thing I wanted to do. But the Lord really just spoke to me one time when I went to Canada on my first missions trip. If you're willing, are you just willing to go? And I was like, well, Lord, I don't want to be a disobedience to you, so if you ask me to do it, I'll go, but just to let you know, I don't really want to go. So over the years in high school, I was very involved in short-term missions trips, but still not really thinking about going full-time anywhere. And the Lord just really spoke to me. I went to discipleship training school with YWAM Youth with a Mission, the Dominican Republic. It's a five-month program. First 3 months is classroom study through a Christian university, and the last two is outreach. They break up the students, and you go on missions trips for the last 2 months. Well, I was praying during a worship service, and I was just, Lord, I'm right here. I'm so amazed of what you've done in my life and how you've saved me from just so many different things, and I want to go where you want me to go, and I want to be what you want me to be. And then I proceeded to tell him how interested I was in nursing and which school. I had narrowed it down to two schools that I wanted to go to, and Lord, where do you want me to go? And I was shocked at the answer. You know, he said, well, have you ever thought about coming back to work with YWAM? No. I said, which school do you want me to go to nursing? It had nothing to do with what I'd asked, but in reality, I guess I had asked him and told him that with a sincere heart that I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And so really, I guess I got my answer. So I'm going to go to work with YWAM. I've signed on initial commitment of 2 years. I leave this summer. And in the meantime, I've been working with the high school youth here. It's been just such a blessing to be able to be a part of their life. And like Chris said, I had to laugh. Hiding back there behind the computers, I've been working at the tech. And I actually had a dream a couple nights ago. I was giving my speech up here, and I kind of looked like this. It was a nightmare, really. I thought I was so short. I wonder if they'll be able to see me. But so that made me laugh. But so I'll be going to the Dominican Republic, and while I'm there, I'm going to be working in accounting and web design on the base, but I'll also have the opportunity to work with Discipleship Training School students. There's two DTSs that they hold yearly, and I'll have an opportunity to be a small groups leader for accountability groups. I'll be a leader on outreaches in the Dominican Republic. We'll be working work projects, visiting orphanages, visiting leper colonies, doing street evangelism, doing Bible studies, VBSs, those type of things. If I have the finances, I'll also be co-leader for international outreach to countries like Haiti and Cuba, Uzbekistan, hopefully, and Central America is mostly where they'll go. So that's what I'll be doing while I'm over there. And that's pretty much covers it since we're running short. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I do have to mention one more thing. For prayers. And I was like going through my notes this morning. I really want to emphasize prayer. It's so important here. I almost forgot. If you can pull out your bulletin, there's a place where you can write down 3 prayer requests. And I really, really covet your prayers. So get those out. You're going to write these down so you won't forget. Number one, I told you I'm involved in a lot of missions activities here at the church before I leave. And I really want God to just transform me. He's been giving me a heart for those. But I'm not involved in it because of what I have to offer, but what I know he can do in and through me. And so I just pray that he would transform my heart and really give me even more of a heart for missions and for ministry, and that you guys would not see anything that comes from me, but everything. It's all reflecting on him. So that's number one. Number two, what was number two? When I get to the Dominican Republic, there's so much things that are going to have to be done. Not just what I'm say I'm going for, but there's just so many things that always need to be done. And there's a time to do it, but I really want to keep in mind that I want to be Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and soaking up everything that he has to offer for me. I really feel like God has a lot to teach me going over there. Obviously, I'm only 21, right? So just pray that I would be open for everything that he has to teach me, and I wouldn't miss any of that. And finally, just that he would continue to provide for all of my needs as I go. I'm raising $700 in monthly support, and I still need $300 of that, so pray for that come in. And the last thing is I'm raising a prayer team. Prayer is something I don't want to leave here without knowing that there are going to be people praying for me. And so I've come up with the idea of having at least 14 people who are dedicated to praying and just have a passion to pray, to be a part of a prayer team that I'm going to raise. 2 people will pray every Monday, 2 people every Tuesday, 2 every Wednesday, so on. So if you feel like that's something you want to be involved in, come talk to me. But those are my 3 prayer requests.
All right.
And just thank you very much for all the support.
Why don't you go down there? Could the elders come on up? All of the elders come on up. All right. Why don't we, Kristen, can you just kneel down on the floor right there? That'll give us a chance to kind of gather around you. Everybody. She said the short dream is coming true right now. We're going to lay hands on you. Let's pray together. Father God, we bring Kristen to you right now, and God, she is responding to your call to go out onto the mission field this summer. Father, right now she's in a time of preparation for that, as you are preparing both her heart, her finances, and all of her life's goals to fall completely into line with yours, God. And Father, I pray that you would richly meet her during this time, that God, you would carry her through this time onto the mission field. And that, Father, you would uniquely infuse her life with your Holy Spirit, that she would be able to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the Dominican Republic, to Haiti, to Uzbekistan, to the people that she'll be meeting with in those DTS experiences, that, Father, she would be able to truly be your woman out on the mission field, that, God, you would fill her to her capacity to be filled, and that you would give her that wish of moving out of the way and allowing you to work through her. God, use all of these talents and gifts that you've given her. They are significant, Father. We benefit as a church from them. And yet, God, we know that out in the Dominican Republic, they will be even more valuable. And so, God, I pray that you would use her. God, we lay our hands on her in obedience to you, Father, that you have given us this pattern in Acts chapter 13. But God, we know that in Acts chapter 13, it says that the Holy Spirit separated those people for ministry in the world. And so, God, we recognize that you are separating Kristen for ministry in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would sustain her and would carry her. And God, that you ultimately are the one that is commissioning her to a lifetime of missionary work there and around the world. God, we give her to you. And Father, we pray for her in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. And thank you, Christian. Well, this, I was picturing this in the front row, is like grabbing a cup and sticking it in front of a fire hydrant and attempting to walk out of the Sunday morning service with, a little sip of water. You have just been hit with a fire hydrant of information, a fire hydrant of opportunity. And I don't want you to walk away feeling like, well, that was a blur. I really do want you to take those notes and those prayer requests and go home and commit these things to prayer. I want you to come to the luncheon that we're about to have so that you can interact with our missionaries. I want you to look at their tables and get involved in their ministries. I don't want you to sit back and think, what can I do? I hope that you've heard that each one of them at different points in their lives asked themselves that question, and more importantly, asked God, and God answered them, and God provided, and God is changing the world through what you give to these ministries, to the prayer that you put into these ministries, and to your own personal interaction and involvement in these ministries. So please, don't hold back. Get even more involved. Become even deeper in your involvement in what God is doing around the world. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to use this prayer right now to not only pray for our missionaries, but also for our lunch, which is in the next room over, okay? So you can go over there and grab your lunch and that kind of thing. And I only have one request. Well, maybe two. As you head over there. Children, could you please walk through the line with your parents this time? And parents, could you please make sure that you have your children with you when you walk through the line? They have a tendency to go through and see all kinds of neat things, and they take six of them and that kind of thing. So if you could go through, we bought enough so that everybody could have seconds, but if you could go through and just take first the first time, that'd be great, because that way the people at the end of the line can eat. And that kind of stuff. And that will probably be our missionaries because they're going to be talking to people. So please make sure that you leave provision for everybody that is there. We've got a great luncheon ahead of us. Let's pray and get right to it. Father God, we come to you, and God, we pray that you would be the focus. God, as we sang earlier in the service, be the center. God, be the center of our lives, and take Interglobal and Eternal Word and Wycliffe and YWAM. God, we are intimately connected to each one of these ministries, and God, please take each one of them and bless them. Bless our missionaries, Father. I pray that they would be blessed and that they would be encouraged as they go from here today, that what they are doing is truly God's work. And that, Father, we want to be a part of that, because wherever we see you working, wherever we see you involved, whatever you've called us into, God, we know that we've got a responsibility to get involved in those things. And so, God, I pray that we would do that we would respond, and that we would do it with Holy Spirit power. That, God, we would not rely on ourselves or what we can offer, but that, God, we would rely on you and what you can offer to us in this. We trust you for that, God. We thank you for this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.